Dar Jamal, I want to thank you very much for being with us, independent journalist, and Sarah Olson, and we'll certainly continue to follow the case and what happens in the hearing and court-martial of Lieutenant Aaron Watada. That does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkadous, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yuri Berichin, Aaron Mate, Lee Burek, Jen Yutes, Anna Noguera, Mike DeFilippo, and Miguel Noguera are our engineers. Special thanks also to Danielle Stramberg-Peshkin, Angela Alston, Uri Galej, Samantha Chambly. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Speed, Stony Brook, New York, where the time is 6:02, time for Off the Wall. Apologies, I forgot to turn the knob up, and you might have heard, not the beginning of the show, you might have heard silence for a few seconds. I'm sorry. It's just, can't go back in time, you can't fix it. It's kind of strange, but that's just the way it goes. I'm a little bit out of it. It's been a rough last few days, and it's quite a start to 2007, isn't it? Of course, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's very strange. I guess it goes back to belief in fate and being in the right place at the right time. Everything this year, or actually last year, seemed to sort of be coinciding with itself, if that's the right way to say it, to tell me not to go away this year. I've gone away every single New Year's for at least the last 6 years, as far as I can recall. And I think most of those times I found myself in Amsterdam at New Year's Eve, celebrating New Year's Day. But this year, for some reason, everything just sort of conspired to prevent that. Whether it be people not being around, whether it be things happening that I had to take care of here, all sorts of things that just sort of were saying, Emmanuel, do not go overseas this year. So I figure, as sort of a believer in fate, In some ways, and I'll explain what I mean by that, I figured that meant that there had to be a reason for me to be here. Something was going to happen. Something was going to happen that required my presence to be here. You ever have that occur where you're in a particular place at a particular time that you would normally not be? And because you were there, something happened that was important, that was key to your life. So I was looking forward to what that was. Because that ties into my belief of fate, of how there are certain people in the world that you have to meet. It sort of works out that way, one way or another. You can try and resist it. You can. But eventually you do wind up meeting these people. They're the key elements of your life. Certain places that you have to go. Certain things that you have to do. I'll give you an example. This particular place right here, WUSB, the radio station I'm speaking to you from, this particular radio station opened its doors the very semester that I started going to Stony Brook. So it kind of pulled me in. And the existence of Stony Brook. I lived right down the road, you know. What other school would have me after getting out of high school? Just this place. It was convenient. I was able to walk to school. So you have the the radio station, you had the university, it was sort of beckoning me, kind of like a magnet of sorts. And that's where I met all these other people, and that's where I learned how radio works and how to be creative and things like that. And then, through this place, I found out that I had the ability to be a typesetter, whatever that was, somebody who could type words into a word processor of sorts and have it print out in newspaper format. And what better skill to have when one embarks on a magazine publishing career, which seemed to come along a couple of years after that. And then the various people you kind of run into along the way that you just could not have accomplished things without knowing. It's almost like they were just placed there. It's like a video game, you know, where you see like a little diamond that you're supposed to roll over and get 500 extra points. Well, yeah, okay, you know, you can choose not to hit it for whatever reason, but you're kind of dumb if you don't. And then if you don't, well, it shows up again later on, so you have another chance to hit it then. And that's sort of how life works. It's sort of how things kind of play out. There's a path, you know, you're walking down this path. And what you do along the way, it's really up to you, but you're still going down the path. Wow, I'm starting to sound religious. My God. Well, anyway, I'll look into that later. So, yeah, here I was this New Year's wondering why I was being prevented from going overseas, why I had to be here. And it was just the other day, in fact, just the other day. I don't even remember because it's all kind of a haze. Now, keep in mind, if I sound kind of disjointed, it's because I'm in a haze. That's the point I'm trying to stick to here. A couple of days ago, I just said, you know, if ever there was a good time for me to be sick, this is it. Because usually I'm so busy, I don't have time. In fact, last week, I started to feel the symptoms of getting sick. And I just said, no, not now, no time, bad time, some other time, please. And the symptoms went away. It's like, okay, all right, but, you know, next time, it's like jury duty. You can get out of it once. But when they come again, they're going to be a little bit more insistent. And eventually, they'll track you down. So, I said that a couple of days ago, a few days ago. And inside of 6 hours, I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Inside of 6 hours, I had a sore throat. I had that headache you get in the back of your eyes. I was starting to get a fever. And it just kept getting worse and worse from then on. And I realized to myself, wow, this is why I had to stay home, because I was going to be sick on New Year's. And it's no fun being sick when you're overseas, away from home. So what better way to celebrate 2007 than to spend it inside, coughing and wheezing, feeling sorry for myself, and just in a daze, in a complete day. I don't even know what's been going on in the world. I really don't. I mean, I have a sense. Obviously, I've looked into some things because, you know, I'm trying to be responsible here and do a radio program, but it's tough focusing. And I also said, you know, okay, fine. I see how this works. Okay, so I'm going to be sick during this period of time because that's the period of time I allocated for it. Fine. But I can't be sick beyond Tuesday because of the show. You know, I don't want to be sick on the air. And I have another show tomorrow night on the other station. I don't want to be sick for that. So, you know, several days of sickness, I think that's fair, right? Get it over with. Try to speed it up a little bit. And for the most part, I have to say for the most part, it worked out. I still feel a little weird. I have a cough, in fact. The cough's gotten worse in the last couple of hours. And this reminds me, let me get these. I have cough drops I brought with me. I'm sorry to have to bring this to the air, but it's either that or it not show up at all. Why do cough drops have to taste like this? I hate them. And, you know, this is embarrassing. I choked on a cough drop the other day. And it's not the first time I've done that either. I was just, I was coughing really bad, and I just figured this thing would be the magic drug to stop the coughing. And it wasn't. I swallowed the thing whole and started. That would have been embarrassing. What a way to go. But fortunately, I seem to have survived. Of course, this could be the eye of the storm. You know how when a hurricane passes over you, it you think the storm's over, but it's the back end of the storm that has yet to hit you. And the back end of the storm, from what I'm told and from what I've experienced, is the stronger end. Excuse, I really should turn down the mic when I do that. that could easily happen. That could easily happen still. But the important thing is that I'm here tonight, and hopefully I'll survive for tomorrow night, and then I can be sick again, I guess, if I have to be. Get it over with. All right, so what's been going on in the world? God. Well, I mean, I remember James Brown being dead last week, all right, and we played some James Brown, and that was nice. It was good to hear. Now, I've just been sort of turning on the TV and the radio occasionally, and I heard Saddam Hussein died. All right, I know about that. I don't understand the day of mourning, okay? Today's a day of mourning, and to me, that just seems a bit inappropriate, you know? We went in there to fight this guy, supposedly, to get him out of power, and he's out of power, and now he died. I'm not quite sure why. And today, we don't have any mail service, and the flags are at half-staff. What's up with that? That's not right. I mean, what kind of message is that sending to the troops? What kind of message is that sending to the children? Well, I can't even begin to describe what kind of message it's sending to me. I don't get that at all. So, yeah, that's pretty wacky. What a way to start 2007. And I heard something about ex-President Ford being executed. That's a bit harsh. I mean, the guy really didn't do all that much that was bad. So, yeah, day of mourning, no mail today, after no mail yesterday. I mean, what a great way to start off the week. Sunday, no mail because it's Sunday. Monday, no mail because it's New Year's. Tuesday, no mail because it's a day of mourning for Saddam Hussein. Come on, what's going to be the excuse for tomorrow? This is not a good way to start the year. How about some work ethics here, you know, where we work hard and make things better? No mail at all. That's a disgrace. All right. Also, as part of my New Year's resolutions, which I did have time to make while I was over in Feverland, I've determined to try and point out things that are wrong. People love that quality in me, where I come to them and I say, you know what's wrong with you? And then I give them a few minutes of my observations. Well, I want to do that for a lot of different things. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Well, yeah, we'll see about that one. And so this is something that actually I was alerted to. I was alerted to this some time ago. You may recall the last fundraiser we had Amy Goodman on for Democracy Now! And we had talked to her for a while. We had also talked to Mike from Off the Hook, who works for Democracy Now! We talked to him. And while we were talking to Amy, because Amy was running around someplace and she called in to us, we put Mike on hold. And then we went back to Mike, and you can listen to this on the show. You'll hear how peeved I sounded because Mike was gone. And I said, oh, well, Mike has hung up on us. That's not what happened at all. That's not what happened at all. What I'm about to do is demonstrate to you what happens. I'm going to call ourselves. To do this, you wouldn't believe how hard this is. I can't just call another extension. I'll show you what happens if I do. Pick up the phone, right? Dial tone there. And I call another extension. Actually, I dialed the wrong number right away. Let's call up here. Okay, you see? The phone is ringing. I see it ringing. I want to pick up that phone and put this one on hold. But this phone system, it's a digital system. If I put this line on hold, it knows. It knows that I haven't picked up the other line yet, so therefore, how can you put a phone on hold that has not picked up? Yeah, it's very intelligent, and it prevents me from doing what I want to do. So I have to actually make a long-distance phone call in order to call back into the university so I can put a call on hold. It's the most ridiculous thing ever, but it's the only way. I had to set this up to forward to this line.
Your call is being connected. Please.
That's our recording there. And now it's going to start ringing, but it's going to be coming from off campus. And therefore, here it is right now. I'm going to put this on hold. And now I'm going to pick up the other line. Hello. I'm connected to myself, although I'm on hold on the other side, so I can't hear myself. I'm going to put this line on hold now. Okay. And then I'm going to go back to the calling number. All right, so the way it is now, I am on hold. I have called into the radio station, and I am on hold. All right, and it's 16 minutes after 6 o'clock. Now, at about, because of the way this phone system is set up, at about 20, 21 minutes after 6 o'clock, it's going to start ringing back to us to remind us that there's a call on hold that has not been attended to in a while. It seems like a good idea. It seems like a good idea. You put somebody on hold, you forget about them, the phone rings you back to remind you. Okay. But it doesn't quite work that way, and you'll see why in a second, or in 4 minutes. This is also one of the reasons why people ask us this. They say, why is it that we have to keep calling into the radio station, and then the phone company disconnects us after 10 rings, and we have to call back again? Why don't you just put us all on hold? Well, this is why. This is why. You're going to see. You're going to see what happens. All right, and while that's... While that's taking place, let me point out something else that's wrong these days. Here is a song which many of you are familiar with. And I'm hearing two channels. Vocals in one channel, music in the other.
When I get older, losing my head.
But because we're going through the delay system and the way it's hooked up, I'll bet you're just hearing one. Now, I'm hearing Paul McCartney in the right channel, and I'm hearing music in the left channel. And I'll bet you're hearing something completely different. I won't be able to tell which, because I'm 6 seconds ahead of you. And 6 seconds later, it comes out over the air. For some reason, the machine is perfectly capable of handling stereo. For some reason, we have it wired so that it comes out, not in mono. Mono would be the merging of the two channels. We have one channel erased and one channel duplicated. And I'm not quite sure why we're doing it this way. And one of the reasons why I'm demonstrating this is so I can tell for myself how it's working. Because I have this particular song, which is in my head right now. I know how it sounds to me. I'm going to listen to it later and see how it sounds to the rest of the world.
I could be handy mending a fuse when your lights have gone. You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing a garden,
okay, I actually skipped ahead and I listened to what it sounds like, and I hear that the vocals are there and the music has been pretty much erased. There is some music, but not enough.
Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear.
So that tells me that the right channel is the one being. Of course, I could have the headphones on backwards, couldn't I? Yeah, so I'm not really sure. Now, you may ask, well, why is this such a big deal? You know, how often do you play a song that has complete separation like this? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I play a song and it does that, and I'm not aware that it's going to do that. Stereo is a very weird thing. Or sometimes a channel might cut out completely. That does happen as well. So this is something else that needs to be fixed. And also provides me a way of killing 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, so that we can see what happens when the phone rings back. Wasn't that nice? All right. So, I really should turn this down. There we go. Of course, there are other things that have been going on in the world. Oh, and also, I want to remind listeners that we will be taking your phone calls, as is our tradition here on Off the Wall. We do want to hear what your New Year's has been like and what has been going on in your world. Okay, and I'm getting corrections to some of the news stories that I've already read, which I'll get to in a little while, I guess. Weather. Okay, well, we can talk about the weather for about a minute, I guess, while we wait for the phone to ring back. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the weather. It's ridiculous. In the West, they're getting blizzards, and here it's like springtime. Somebody told me that the cherry blossoms are blooming in Washington, D.C. How is that possible? It's 4 months early. It's 4 months early. It's not right. It's just not right at all. So basically, how does that work? Do the blossoms bloom again in the spring, or is that it? Do we miss out? Are we not going to have any cherry blossoms in the spring? Is there not going to be a spring? Maybe spring will be summer. Maybe summer will be super summer. you can't really say this is a result of everything getting warmer because it's getting colder in other parts of the country. We're being ripped off. Oh, wait a minute. It's ringing back. It's ringing back. Hang on. I'm supposed to pick up the phone. Oh, look, it disappeared. It's gone.
Business hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If this is an emergency and you have to reach University Police, press 1 now. For the University Hospital, press 2. For the Stala Center for the Arts, press 3. For the Indoor Sports Complex, press 4.
This is the main university switchboard.
For campus residents, press 6.
And there's no mention of if you're on hold at WUSB, hit this.
You have reached Stony Brook University. Business hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If this is an emergency and you have to reach University Police, press 1 now. For the University Hospital, press 2. For the Stala Center for the Arts,
this will repeat a couple of times. If you're totally confused and have no idea what's happening, it'll eventually just give up and hang up on you.
Residents, press 6.
Thank you for calling.
And that's the end of that. Now, this is the most inane way of setting up a phone system I've ever heard of. I've actually complained about this, but of course nothing's been done about it. Apparently, anybody on campus, if you put somebody on hold for 5 minutes, it transfers back to the university switchboard, which after hours gets you that recording, and even within hours will get you a confused operator. It didn't used to be set up this way. It used to ring back to you and just keep ringing until you picked up again. So this is why we can't take calls and put them on hold. After five minutes, they disappear into nowhere. It's really kind of sad. Our phone number, which we're not going to put you on hold for, and this is why, our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And my apologies. Apparently, I got it wrong. It was Saddam Hussein who was executed, not Gerald Ford. All right, so who's in the casket, then, that they've been parading around Washington, D.C.? Does anybody know? Somebody ought to check, then. I mean, what's with death lately? Everybody's dying at the same time. Killing Hussein at the same time as killing Ford. Well, okay, maybe they didn't kill Ford, but I don't know. It seems like a big coincidence, if you ask me. It seems like a way of getting the flags at half-staff for our good old friend who no longer is in power over there. Okay, but we do have a couple of stories here. Oh, yeah, it's actually... You see, I have heard everything. As I was in my fever, I was hearing all sorts of things. And it's coming back to me now that, yes, there were some recordings made of this. Recordings made of the execution over there in Baghdad. And apparently, the United States, of all people, were trying to get the execution delayed. They were trying to keep it from taking place, unsuccessfully, because those supposedly in power wanted to do it really, really quickly. And yeah, it sure seemed like they were racing. They were moving as fast as they possibly could to get this thing done. And somebody smuggled in a cell phone camera and recorded the thing. And if you listen to this, it's horrible. I mean, yeah, Saddam Hussein's a horrible person, deserves the worst that can befall him, sure, whatever. But to hear the way that this took place, having him being mocked and having one particular religious leader being praised repeatedly and chanting and cheering and all sorts of things like that, didn't really give the best impression, did it? And then you have those guys with the socks over their head, you know, with the two eye holes cut out. Doesn't really look civilized now, does it? Looks like a terrorist act. It really does. So, yeah, now that, predictably enough, has not exactly led to people joining hands and singing Kumbaya. It's led to all sorts of violence and cries for revenge. And you have to wonder, just what exactly was accomplished by this? Yeah, obviously it was revenge. It wasn't justice. I don't think the two really go hand in hand very much. I this goes beyond whether or not you think Saddam Hussein should have been executed or not. Most people seem to think that he should have been. I'm against execution in pretty much every instance. Execution by government, certainly. I don't think there's ever a reason for that. It just lowers the overall standing. And in this particular case, those in charge in Iraq really look like a bunch of thugs. And I can't imagine what's going to happen next. Now, in Italy, the reaction in Italy has been interesting. Italy is campaigning at the United Nations for a global ban on the death penalty. This is after graphic images of Saddam Hussein's hanging shocked people around the world. I really don't understand how you could be shocked. I really don't. And the big thing, this is what really is amazing, the big thing in Iraq is finding out how the cell phone camera got smuggled in and who did it. Yeah, that's the big question. Not what actually happened, but who leaked this information? It's just like here, almost. That's what, if somebody leaks something, it's not a question of what got leaked, like, you know, something in the White House and some confidential memo. It's a question of who is it? Who is it that actually told the press this? Anyway, pressured by a week-long hunger strike by a 75-year-old campaigner against Hussein's execution and the death penalty in general, the Prime Minister said that Italy would push the UN for a universal moratorium on capital punishment. So that's quite a reaction, isn't it? You may wonder how many countries actually have the death penalty, and I have a list here of all the countries in the world, and you'd be surprised. A lot of them still have capital punishment, although quite a few haven't used it in a while. The United States is one of the biggest proponents. Of course, China is right up there as well. But if there's a country that you'd like to find out about, please ask us. First, okay, Germany. What's Germany's stance on capital punishment? No capital punishment for any crimes. The last execution was in 1949. What do you think about that? How about United Kingdom? Let's see where they stand. No capital punishment for any crimes. The last execution, 1964. Ethiopia, capital punishment is legal. Japan, I'm curious about Japan. Sorry about that. These cough drops don't work at all, do they? They really don't. It's a scam. Where was I? Japan, capital punishment is legal in Japan. Bet you didn't know that. All right, so I have a whole list here in case anybody needs to know. Of course, you can always just go onto the internet and find out for yourself. What else? Other bits of news. Actually, this is sort of related. This is how justice can be achieved in other ways. The village thug in Spain has been dealt with. Yeah, that's true. This is a real story. This just came over a couple of hours ago. A mob of 400 people burnt the house and cars of a Spanish villager known as the Bald One. Yes, the Bald One has been contained. They did this on New Year's Eve, claiming revenge for 7 years of his threats and violence against locals. Javier Bemuel. I don't know. Let's just call him Javier for now. He went into bars and supermarkets in the central village of Villa Conejos. I can't even say that. I'm sorry. He went into the central village of the village he lived in, which is about 35 miles from Madrid. He went in with a pistol or a knife. He'd take whatever he wanted, never paid anything. He didn't hesitate to use violence against the residents in bars. He drove his car wherever he liked, and he did whatever he felt like. On December 23rd, he entered a bar, thumping the bar and pushing other customers aside. A man told him that he had had enough and gave him a beating. The Bald One responded by returning a week later with a number of friends to destroy the bar. The attack was the last straw for some of the for 200 of the villagers, who then went to his house later that day and wound up burning the place down. And then the guy was arrested for firing a gun, and that's pretty much the end of that story. Yeah, mob burns house of village thug. No death penalty, just street justice right there. So that's it's amazing, a one-man crime wave in a village. Do you have a village thug in your community? Somebody just gets whatever he wants and intimidates. How do you intimidate 200 people? How do you do that? I'd like to know. I would. Okay, this is kind of a funny story, actually. This is something I just heard about. An overweight woman who got stuck in a South African cave trapped 22 fellow tourists for more than 10 hours and had to be pried free with liquid paraffin. She got trapped in the Tunnel of Love. I'm not making this up. In the Kango Caves in the Western Cape. That happened just yesterday on New Year's Day in South Africa. The caves manager said the woman had been warned she might not be suitable, but she insisted on trying. Now, she wound up getting herself stuck, and 22 tourists were trapped inside a cave because this big fat woman was stuck in the entranceway. Can you imagine the dialogue that went on for the 10 hours that they were all stuck there? I mean, I must have gotten pretty hostile. You know, you big fat idiot, how dare you? Look what you've done to us. We're going to die here in a cave because you're too big to get out of the hole. And was she facing forward or backward? Who knows? They were probably throwing things at her. Oh, I wish I had heard some of the invectives that were being hurled. And it could have been serious, too. One of those trapped was a diabetic. Two of the kids had asthma. Of course, all these things kick in when you have a big fat woman trapping you inside a cave. The rescue operation involved several ambulance teams and a helicopter. And according to the manager of Kango Caves, it was an expensive exercise that could cost something like $5,000 or $6,000 US. And we don't yet know who will foot the bill. I have a guess. I have a guess who should foot the bill. So, if you're that big going into a cave, you might want to rethink it or just be first in and last out. All right. Other problems going on in the world, because there certainly are a lot of them. Oh, and our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. As soon as we see a couple of phones light up the switchboard, we'll go to them. We got a lot of mail from people saying why they didn't call last week. Most of you like to listen to the show in days ahead. And I guess, you know, that's your right. So I'm not speaking to you when I say give us a call now. I'm speaking to those people who are listening now. Who are either driving around or sitting at home or doing whatever they do when they listen to the radio or get us online. This is kind of sad, I guess. A notice on the Yahoo News page. Yahoo News is working on new ways for readers to comment on the news and participate in a discussion around it. And while we work on our new community features, the message boards that were linked from individual news articles have been taken offline. That's right. No more Yahoo News comments. They don't want to hear them. This is why. As they were set up, the Yahoo News message boards allowed a small number of vocal users to dominate the discussion. Oh, well, how many times have I heard this before? Just a bunch of loudmouths that think the whole world revolves around them. It's kind of the problem that we were having with Newsday.com, where a bunch of racists took over that particular site and were saying all kinds of horrible things about Sean Bell and black people in general. So, yeah, you know, it's great to hear from people, and we have our phones ringing right now, in fact. But when certain vocal, loud vocal people take over, it's a real problem. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
How are you doing, Manuel?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Huntington, West Virginia.
Huntington, West Virginia?
Yes.
Cool. We have a Huntington here in New York, but it's definitely not the same place.
It's probably a lot more cosmopolitan than this one.
You know, yeah. Sorry to say, you're probably right, but it really isn't that cosmopolitan.
We have a college here, though. We have a university.
You do. That's good. That's always good. So what's going on down there?
Well, actually, the university just had a movie made about it called We Are Marshall.
What does that mean?
It's our very dumb sports slogan that we yell in stadiums. You know, as opposed to let's go team, we just declare who we are.
I see. It's all about the sports, isn't it?
But I was just calling to say, real quickly, that first of all, I didn't call, over Christmas because I had the most insane and wonderful Christmas I've ever had.
How so?
Insanely personal, but that's beside the point.
Okay.
And the other reason I was calling was, you mentioned you wondered how you can intimidate 200 people.
Yeah, I mean, directly. You know, when you walk into a bar and everybody clears a space for you. I'd like to know that.
Right. Well, I would think the easiest way, just based on my observations, would be have them all take their shoes off, x-ray all their belongings, and then threaten them with full-body cavity searches if they don't comply.
How does one person do that?
I don't know. You have to be a real sadist to do something like that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it would seem so. But, yeah, it's the bald one.
It's no,
under no more
the guise
problems.
Of making them all safer.
Yeah. So any New Year's resolutions for you?
I hope to be more mindful of other people and to have a happier year in which I can maybe do some good for the people around me. And I guess that's all I can really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. Any words of advice to the people out there?
My words of advice would be do what you can in small doses for those around you, and things will get better.
What do you think of this whole Saddam Hussein mess?
What's that?
What do you think of this whole Saddam Hussein mess?
I think the execution was gruesome, and I think it's very unfortunate that it was done in the way it was. I personally don't think killing anyone is ever going to do any good for anyone. We could have learned a lot from Saddam Hussein.
That's right. Absolutely. There's so much information that guy had, and just by making him into a martyr like this. Because here's the thing. I don't know if you looked at some of the earlier reports of this, but the earlier reports were saying he was a broken man. You could see the fear in his eyes. And then when you look at the video, he wasn't broken at all. He was defiant. He was standing upright and taking all the taunting in stride, and he... You know, I'm no fan of the guy, but he went to his death in a rather admirable way.
And I think that was probably construed for a purpose. I think he knows that there are a lot of people who are still loyal to him in that country, and certainly this will be a great piece of propaganda for them in the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it certainly is now.
That the U.S. Authorities didn't, you know, have some input on how this was going to be, you know, orchestrated.
Mm-hmm. And we also passed the 3,000 U.S. troops killed in Iraq milestone over the New Year's. It's really, how much worse can this get?
Well, look at Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. I know.
it can get a lot worse.
It certainly can. You think we'd learn from our mistakes from the past, but apparently
no, I think actually we're going to make the same mistake we made in Vietnam, and I think we're going to stay in there for far too long, and we're going to end up escalating things in the region, and we're going to get people like Iran and Saudi Arabia involved, and they already are.
You know, the interesting point about all this is that the people who are starting the wars and sending the troops in there, they've seen it all before. But the troops themselves, most of them weren't around during the Vietnam years, so they don't know the history as well. They weren't around for it, so they don't have as much of an opportunity to learn from it. And I think you got to look at that and realize... who's really guilty here and what they're doing. They know what they're getting into. They know about Vietnam. They know these lessons. They're choosing to ignore them and sending people in who really don't know any better. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound patronizing to them or anything like that, but, you know, if you weren't around during that time, maybe you don't really know how bad it was. And we're heading right back into it for no particular reason.
I wasn't around during that time. I'm 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But those of my generation are in Iraq. And I can tell you that they don't know the lessons of Vietnam because they don't know history. and that's due to our education system. But that's neither here nor there. But I think it's important to distinguish between those political people in the administration who are pursuing this ridiculous strategy and the upper rank military people who do know exactly what's going wrong. And they're trying to tell these people like General Shinseki, who was fired for saying that they needed 200,000 troops minimum.
Uh-huh.
We need to listen to these experienced military people. And the average person in the military at my age doesn't know a single thing because they're as propagandized as anyone else.
Can you answer me this? Why do people join up knowing that they're going to be sent overseas? What exactly are they thinking?
Usually it's economic motivation, paying for school, that sort of thing, usually because they don't have any other choice. Because student loans are pretty much unavailable, and same with grants, especially grants. So the poorest among us are the ones who have to turn to the military, and so we have a bit of a class division there.
So in that sense, what John Kerry said before Election Day was pretty much on target, that if you don't bring your grades up and study hard and stay in school and that kind of thing, you're going to wind up in Iraq. He backed down from that, but I think what he was really saying kind of is right on.
Say was even if you get good grades, mm-hmm. work hard, you're going to get stuck in Iraq because that is the way it is. If you get good grades in America's schools today and you don't happen to have the right, you know, you just don't have some certain statistic in terms of your, you know, community service or whatever, you're not going to get scholarships. It's very difficult. And grants and loans are just pretty much unavailable.
That's the thing. You know, when I went to school, there were such things as grants. My family had no money at all, yet I was able to go to this school. I mean, it was here, it was down the road, it was cheap, but still, there wasn't enough money to pay for it. If I had been in that same position today, I probably wouldn't have that option. Who knows what I'd have to do? And I don't think the military would be an option for me, but a lot of people probably, it looks pretty good, you know?
Well, and there's also the component of, you know, serving your country and all that honor and glory, and that's great, you know, and the military does do a lot of good things for a lot of people. But, you know.
Here's how I see that, all right? Today, just today in New York, there was a case of some poor guy who fell onto a subway track. He had some kind of seizure and fell into the track. This other guy jumps in to save him and is actually able to pin him down, pin the both of them down onto the surface of the track. As a train is coming in, the train passes over them. This guy knew that there was enough clearance so that he would not be, neither one of them would be crushed. But how many people would know this? This guy knew this because it was part of his military training. And that is the good use of military training, to help people, to save people, to know what to do in an emergency. And yeah, that is serving your country in the truest sense of the word. But to be just sent as cannon fodder wherever the leaders decide is relevant for this particular week, that's not serving your country. That's blindly serving a bunch of people who couldn't care less about you.
That brings up an interesting point, and I'll answer that, and then I'll go ahead and let other callers get in.
Yes, and those other callers, they gave up, but please call back 631-632-9872. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been thinking recently that it would be a good thing for the United States to have an additional branch of the armed forces that wasn't quite so much armed, that was sort of kind of, you know, a mix between, you know, the National Guard and the Peace Corps. People with, you know, defensive combat training and that sort of thing, but with no, primarily their training would be in civilian relations and cultural diversity training and stuff like that. So we could actually accomplish things like Iraq and peacekeeping missions in Bosnia with the greater fluidity and a less use of force.
Yeah, it certainly seems like the excessive use of force is a real problem for the rest of the world, and we might be that one bully in a village bar that nobody quite knows how to deal with. We might be the bald one ourselves, and eventually the villagers are going to get upset. I mean, actually, you know, it really kind of ties in. There's around 200 countries in the world. We're one of them. We're that one person going into the bar. The 200 villagers are about to get really upset at us and burn down our house. Haha, what do you think of that?
During the Cold War, we were the bully that everyone liked to stand behind because they were afraid of the other bully.
Right. There was another bully. There were two bullies.
The only major bully left. And instead of being the bully like we are now, we need to become the benevolent neighbor who's willing to lend a hand.
Right.
And I'll leave it at that.
Because we can afford to lend a hand. We have a lot of money that right now is being spent on nothing. It's being spent on death. But if we were to spend that on our own society here, on our own infrastructure, we could have some really incredible things. We really could.
Absolutely. I think we can do that.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
For taking my call.
Take care. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Right around the corner, Ronkonkoma.
Ah, Ronkonkoma. Great. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to, I've been to Huntington, West Virginia. It's not spelt the same. Secondly, I just wanted to pose the point that everybody says, conventional wisdom that we should have had 200,000 troops, and we should have had 150,000, or give me 100,000 more, and we can
Uh-huh.
My point is, or my question, if we had gone in with 200,000 troops, we would have what? There was nothing to do there to begin with. It wasn't our business.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you have 2 million troops, if you don't have a plan and if you don't really have a good reason to be there in the first place. So I see what you're saying.
My question was we done? It's not so much a plan. We had no right, no business.
Mm-hmm.
What 200,000 troops? What would we have right now? Would we have like Iraq sending us? You know, instead of made in China, would everything now be, you know, be saying made in Iraq? I mean, what would we have? I want to focus. I want to maintain a focus on. They were not Al Qaeda. We were misled going in there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
200,000 troops would have. Yeah, maybe we could have taken over a very small country. And what?
Yeah, no, very, very good point. What was the objective? What was the reason?
We went in there with 5 million troops, like, or you said 2 million, and what? We would have turned it into what? Ohio? New Jersey? I mean, I just wanted to, what, that number to me has become just useless.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to call and hopefully get that on the air.
Okay, hopefully our delay system worked as well. Thanks for expressing that opinion in such emotional terms. But I understand the sentiment behind it. And it's not good, not good at all. Something else which is not good is this story out of New Orleans. Get this, you heard about this case where. Basically, a couple of people were executed in New Orleans after Katrina. They were shot in the back by cops. And finally, unlike in New York, finally the cops have been held to account for it. But today, more than 200 supporters applauded as 7 indicted policemen arrived at a jail Tuesday to face charges in a deadly bridge shooting and the chaos that followed Hurricane Katrina. Each of the indicted men faces at least one charge of murder or attempted murder, and the shootings of 6 people on the Danziger Bridge on September 4th, 2005. It's unbelievable that people would show up and support. I mean, these are cops showing up and supporting fellow officers, but I think they're doing it blindly. I think they're doing it because they're fellow cops, so they can never be wrong. Support the Danziger 7 is what one of the signs read, and thanks for protecting our city is what another sign read, which, you know, thanks for protecting our city is what you say to the cops that don't kill people. It's not what you say to the cops who do. These men stayed here to protect our city and protect us, and this is the thanks that is given to them, said one of the protesters, I guess. It's a serious injustice, said Sergeant Henry Kuhn, of the Harahan Police Department, one of several uniformed officers from the New Orleans suburbs who joined the crowd. People need to realize when, just because somebody is your co-worker or your friend, what they do is not necessarily okay. The same thing in New York, where still to this day, we don't know the names of the people who killed Sean Bell. We still don't know. A vigil is underway outside a Queens police station to call attention to the deadly police shooting of Sean Bell. Bell's mother, Valerie, started the vigil at 4:56 a.m. yesterday, that's on New Year's, about the same time officers fired 50 shots at Bell and his friends outside a Queens club on November 25th, more than a month ago. As a mother, I will never get to hold my son, she said, and his father will have no more father-son conversations. It is the grace of God who is our pillar, who allows us to get through this. Her attorney says the vigil will go on around the clock for 50 days. She invited others to join her in the vigil, but insists that it must remain peaceful. Bell's family wants to bring attention to the lack of any indictments in the case and to call for a special prosecutor reaching out to Governor Elliot Spitzer to make that happen. Governor Spitzer, we have a new governor. Yeah, no more Governor Pataki. Those days are over. Thank God. Governor Spitzer. Who knows if he'll be any better, but it just sounds better. They can't hide from what they have done. We're just showing people that justice will prevail, letting them know that we will go on in Jesus' name to do the right thing for our son and for anyone who has lost a child. And, you know, there are people who will say that's wrong. There are people who will protest against that. There are people who will blindly stand up for these anonymous cops who go around killing people. How dare you protest against someone killing your son who was unarmed? Oh, but he was drunk. Oh, my God. He was drunk coming out of a bar. He was behind the wheel, and his alcohol level was higher than it should have been. Does that deserve death? How about the alcohol level of the people who shot him? That's something we don't get to find out because the tests were never taken. When you're cops, you can get away with things like that. That's me talking, by the way. That's not his mother talking. I'm sorry. His mother, his mother's attorney, Neville Mitchell, said, "We are saying to the mayor, the police commissioner, and Governor Spitzer, who we think is a good man, they better make sure they get this one right. And the reason why is because there is anger in the city and we want to make sure everything is done peacefully." The attorneys representing the Bell family say while there are reports of a grand jury, that a grand jury will begin hearing the case this week, it's taken far too long. Amen. If four individuals cut down a police officer, there would be no question and they would be arrested immediately, said the family's attorney, Peter St. George Davis. "There's no question a felony complaint would be filed against all the individuals, and there would be no question they would be indicted before the week was out. We're looking to see an indictment. Any criminal that is on the face of the earth in the United States of America gets indicted. So it doesn't matter if you have a badge or you have a big rope chain around your neck. If you are a criminal, you need to be indicted." Seems reasonable to me. If these guys weren't cops, I'll bet a lot of people who are blindly supporting them would say the same thing. All right, second on the phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Excuse me.
Where are you calling from?
Selden.
Okay. I guess it's morning there. What's on your mind?
Very funny. Just wanted to say that the comment of Elliot Spitzer and Pataki was so evil. There's so many negative things. I mean, let's give Spitzer, you know, a month, a year. He can be so much better than Pataki. It's not funny.
He can be so much better.
Right. Yeah. Certainly. I mean, you know, he has a track record of also being a better human being, politically speaking, than a Pataki. And also, isn't Joe Bruno also out of office or not?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Anyway, Bruno was like, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the one aspect that people in New York City, the housing fight, Bruno was always in the pockets of the landlords. So, you know, you could say, well, Pataki's, that Spitzer guy will also be in the pockets, but maybe not.
Uh-huh.
No. All right, next thing. Death penalty, dude, I'm for killing Nazis. Sorry, I'm for killing Nazis.
I think they've pretty much been quelled.
What?
The Nazis, I think they're pretty much, I think it's over.
I'm just saying, anyone who kills, I'm for seeing them killed.
Yeah, but okay, fine. I understand that, and I can understand the revenge motivation, but do you think the government should be the ones doing it?
Okay,
I mean, if somebody kills somebody close to you, I would totally understand if you took them out. But what I can never get my head around is the government methodically just exterminating people. I just can't.
I don't even understand the formulation about calling it the government. I mean, we live in a society. Society has a government. We have an infrastructure. That's the government. I mean, I don't think the person who's the relative should be forced to then kill that person who killed the relative. What I'm saying is, whether it's a personal crime or even a war crime. Let me say this one thing about all the innocent black men who obviously get, you know, railroaded. That's that's a racist government, and that should stop today forever. Okay,
well,
if we can stop that today forever, that's a big problem. But
of course,
a lot of people
also,
racism was not an element of it. If you made sure you had the right guy, then I have no problem with what you call the government. I mean, it's the
Well, that's the thing. You don't necessarily have the right guy.
You're saying that the person, the family member should do the killing. That's your position.
No, I didn't say they should do the killing. I said I would understand if they did because I understand the emotions that come behind it. But a government should not be, you know, our system of law and order should not be ruled by emotion. It should be ruled by what is best for society. And I don't think putting somebody to death is ever better for society. I just don't see that. I mean, if somebody tortures somebody.
Relevance and killed, but I think the way society looks at it is that why should that person be able to breathe and have pleasure for another 30 years locked up in jail or 50 years locked up in jail when the person's relative is dead?
That's the rationale, but then you can extend that rationale to, well, this person ripped off a lot of other people. Why should he continue to breathe? You know, it's a stepping stone. I just don't think the government should be in a position where they can decide who lives and dies.
Ripping off. No, not ripping off, not stealing, murder. Just murder, okay?
Yeah, but, you know, there's things that lead to murder. You know, I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop it there because we're out of time, but this is a good conversation. Let's take it up next week. 631, oh, well, I can't give out the phone number because we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for calling in, and thanks for getting me all riled up about the death penalty, which I haven't gotten riled up about in the last few years. Time for us to go out on an appropriate note, it being New Year's. No, this isn't what I wanted. No, stop that, stop that. Ugh, that sounds like a bunch of screaming cats in a plastic bag or something. No, that's not what I wanted. I picked the wrong track. No, something appropriate for New Year's. Yeah, this is better. I'm sorry about that. Ooh, it's a fever. We'll be back again next week. Our email address, otw@2600.com. Keep those cards and letters coming in, and stay happy for 2007. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.